Peter would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This is a little snippet, if you like, the story of Abraham. The chapter of faith mentions lots of people by name, some not by name, but Abraham's mentioned more than anyone else. And probably not surprising, he's regarded by many as the father of faith, Abraham, because he believed God. Later on in the chapter, as it nears to an end, it says, in a sense, I haven't got time to talk about all the others, some who shut the mouths of lions, some who died by the sword. It doesn't name them, it just says, this is what people did. But it actually names Abraham and talks about his faith. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you ready for a challenge? Are you ready for a challenge? Audrey talked about still trusting God. I'm looking, most of us, the majority here, have probably been on the road for some time. And probably sort of say, well, yes, we've got faith, we're there. But sometimes we get a little bit stale or static and we need to be challenged again. This is a fantastic story about Abraham. I love these verses. The first thing I'd say to you is about faith. Faith works best in response to a call, generally. When God speaks to us, most of us don't have much trouble going for it. Some of us maybe do, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But mostly, faith responds best to a call, because we've always got that sort of place to go back to and say, well, God called me. God's told me. So the challenge in some ways, initially, is to respond to the call. We're all here because we're drawn by the Spirit. The Bible says we don't actually, this will confuse your theology, we don't actually make a decision for salvation. We're drawn by the Spirit. The Spirit of God draws us. What a thing that is. God's not only died for us, he'd made provision to bring us to himself. How much more can he do? We're drawn by the Spirit, the Bible teaches us. It says about Abram, when called to go. I'm not very good with Hebrew, some of you will know, but Greek's a bit better. So the book of Hebrews, although it's called that, it's written in Greek. The Greek there means he immediately obeyed. As soon as God called him, he packed his stuff up and said, I'm off. I've said before, probably my tongue-in-cheek thing, Abram's probably one of the most foolish men in the Bible. He set out for somewhere, he didn't know where he was going. I think it was Gerald Coates who said years ago, if you don't know where you're going, you'll probably end up somewhere else. Which I always found quite cute, really. It says he set out for somewhere he didn't know where he was going. There's a challenge, isn't it? Are you prepared to respond when God speaks and you don't know the end result? We all like to know the end result, don't we? God speaks. I'd like to know, God, at the end of it, I win people to Christ, or I get money, or something happens. Tell me what the end is. And God says, I'm not going to tell you what the end is. Just respond. If you're like me, you like to be in control. You like to know the end result. United won 5-0. Oh, no, that's a different one. The promise is Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abram, he wasn't Abraham then, he was Abram, A-B-R-A-M. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Here's a question for you. When was the last time you heard God speak clearly to you? Distinctly or directly? It's a whole other topic for me to talk about how God speaks. Generally, he speaks to us through his word. But in order to get to that position where God can speak, we need to put ourselves in a position to receive, don't we? I used to, years ago, when I had no money and trying to earn money, I'd sometimes go around repairing people's computers. And you know the obvious one, isn't it? Have you tried switching it on? Have you tried the power? My most famous one was a girl who phoned up and said, I've got this problem on my computer. It's like something eating it. I keep getting this thing showing me. It's eating my hard drive. I thought, I'd never heard of that before. I went round to look at it. It was a screensaver she had on. She hadn't turned off. So I didn't charge her £50. It was a bit mean. I said, don't worry, I'll sort it out for free. What would you need in order for God to speak to you or to be in the receive position? Well, this won't surprise you. You need to spend time with God. Maybe that's a challenge to some of us to get back to that place we've been and maybe lost it. I always love the post. I quote it often. You know, the old poster. Does God seem far away? Guess who moved? Usually it's us. He's static. I think Audrey said it very well. He's faithful. He's always there. It's whether we're close enough. So if you want to hear from God, you've got to spend time with him. You've got to spend time in the Word. Because generally speaking, that's how God speaks to us these days, through his Word. Doesn't mean you have to know it back to front, but you have to spend some time in it. I often say to people who sort of struggle with, I don't know where such and such a book is. Here's a revelation for you. Try using the index. It's in the front if you don't know where it is. God has helped me. I've got a good memory in relation to Scripture, and it's what I've studied for years. But use whatever age you need in order to get there. Some of us have got it on our phone. Some of us got an audio Bible. That's fine. You can do something else. Do the washing up while that Bible's playing in the background. Maybe in the car. I taught at Mattisey for a while, although I don't know how I got there. I think it's David Pett's fault. Convinced me to teach Greek for 3 terms. It was a nightmare. They knew more than I did, I think. But I used to drive from Nottingham to Mattisey about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I'd put something in, the CD player on tape, to listen to encourage me, inspire me, preaching or whatever. Because useful use of the time. Here's the third one. Spend time with godly people further on than you are. You know what they say, bad company corrupts good character. Are you spending time with people with faith who are a bit further on? John Phillips shared a great illustration when I was at Bible college. I never forgot it. He said, Mary went to see Elizabeth when she was pregnant because Elizabeth was further on than she was. She was further down the road. People of faith, go and mix with them. They'll challenge you. Have you ever been with someone when they come in a room, you think, they've got something from God. I'd love to have what they've got. I don't know what it is, but you can just sense it. And it challenges you. I hope it does. Warren read one of the Psalms. Where is he? He's at the back there. I love the Psalms. My love from the Psalms comes from spending time with David Sherman. When I lived with him, I would hear him in the morning praying through the Psalms. About 6 a.m. in the morning. And I got a love for the book of Psalms. Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. James 2:23. Where's my friend Raymond disappeared to? He's there. We haven't sung that for a while, Ray, have we? I am a friend of God. That's what the song says. Imagine that. What's significant about friendship? There's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. Friends share secrets together, don't they? My friend sat here with Beryl on the front row, Michael. He knows things about me probably I would wish he wouldn't share, so I'm glad he keeps his, you know, keeps my confidence. Because friends share stuff. They're close. They share a bond of intimacy that others don't. Are you a friend of God? Are you that close where he speaks to you and you think, great. Best friends know and share secrets together. Here's a great scripture. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the law. The secret things belong to God, but things have been revealed to us. God tells us stuff, doesn't he? Reveals truth. We can't exhaust God. There's more to learn. Paul says the spiritual man understands spiritual things. The carnal man doesn't. Or carnal, worldly, if you like. Those who are, my language, not Christians. If you're not born of the Spirit, you're not a Christian, in my understanding. You've got to be born of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Do you know God listens to our conversations, plans, and aspirations? I'm sure most of you know that. Here's a scripture. Go and look this up when you go home. Malachi 3:16. Those who heard the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Wow. You're probably aware of it, but I'll just frighten you a little bit. Our conversation's recorded, and God's got entries in his book of actions and deeds, not the book of life. Our name's in the book of life. We've got a book of actions and deeds where God records it. And the Bible says we'll all be rewarded according to our deeds, what we've done, what we've said. Very powerful thing, this, isn't it? James talks about the tongue. God knows everything. Here's one for you. What about you and God? Are you BFF? Best friends forever? Lovely saying they used to have, isn't it? Are you? You and God? Best friends? Are you ready for a challenge? Because first of all, we need to respond to God. We preach in this church a lot from Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has got plans for you, and some of us, as yet, have not stepped into them. We're still on the edge. God's got stuff planned for you. Ephesians 2:10, good works prepared in advance. None of these are on my notes, don't let that worry you. Okay, second thing. Are you ready for a challenge? Sometimes we have to step out, don't we? Abraham set out for a city. He didn't know where he was going. What a foolish man. He set out. God spoke, I'm going. Well, hang on, Abraham, what about provision? I'm going. What about if you hit obstacles? I'm going. Some of us have got too many what ifs. Like Peter in the boat, we sometimes need to step out. Imagine that, being able to claim, I walked on water. Wow. The thing that stops most of us, our own limitations we put on ourselves. I can't do that. I could never do that. You're probably right, on your own, but you and God can. One man, one woman, plus God equals enough, used to be the equation. Are you telling me the one who created the universe isn't powerful enough to sort things out? Run that by me again. I've said before, if you read the text as it stands, it seems crazy. But it shows us two things about Abraham, and these are key maybe to getting ready for a challenge. First of all, he took God at his word. Go, Abraham, go to a city and I'll show you. Okay, I'm off, God. He took God at his word. The Bible's full of promises about what God can do for us and how he will sustain us. And sometimes we lose sight of it because the enemy gets in or fear gets in, doesn't it? The opposite of faith is fear. And fear often is about the unknown. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, even socially, I sometimes find that. You go to a place where people you don't know are. It feels strange and odd, and you're not too sure how you'll cope. Because we like the familiar, don't we? We like what we know. It's a challenge. Second thing, he expected guidance along the way. Okay, God, well, I'll set out, and at some point you'll tell me. Which is what Isaiah says somewhere, is it about chapter 33, I don't know. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you talk, move to the left or to the right. As we set out on the journey, God speaks to us through people, through signs. through events. I was just thinking as I sat down this morning, I haven't put this on my notes, thinking up, how can that work out? How can I share about that? And I was thinking, when I first came here around about, I don't know, 1974, that sort of time, 74, 75, I imagine, when I first came here. I was a Christian a couple of years, and I sat at home one day reading a magazine. In those days, some of you as old as me will remember a thing called Redemption Tidings. Andy's laughing at the back. And there was an advert in it for Mattersea Bible College. And as I read it, God spoke to me and said, that's for you. And I came in and spoke to the pastor and said, this is what I feel. You know, novice really, very young Christian. God's calling me to Bible College. He said, funny enough, David Petts is over in Manchester this week and he's speaking at Failsworth. And that Sunday night I went to see David Petts to talk about Mattersea. And as I often say to people, I'm a very strange person. I went to Mattersea. I was the only person who didn't have to go formally for an interview because David Petts remembered me from the conversation at Failsworth. So I must have made an impression on him. I don't know if that was good or bad. But I remember that journey thinking, wow, how did that happen? How did things work out? How did God organise David Petts to be here the weekend when I was talking about going to Bible College? See, the psalmist says, all my days were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows all about us, doesn't he? Are you prepared to take God at his word? Are you ready for the challenge? Are you willing to set out even if you don't know the eventual outcome? My other great adventure, he'll be here in a couple of weeks, Ian Watson and I set out. My brother was working in Israel and sent me a letter and I said, we had a summer break at Mattersea from Bible College. I'm going to go to Israel. I'm going to hitchhike to Israel. So in my youthful enthusiasm, I bought two maps and drew £50 out of the post office. That was my, bought two maps, that'll be fine, I'll be all right. Having looked it up today, it's a journey of 3,500 miles from Manchester to where I went, through about seven or eight countries. No big deal, you could do it standing on your head. But Abraham wasn't sure where he's going, he didn't have a map. We are comfortable in the known and familiar, but often get stressed in the unknown. How is our inward faith expressed outwardly? We can say we believe, can't we? I've got faith. In fact, I think when Mark preached a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned we all have a measure or a level of faith. So you can't say you've got no faith. You could say I've got less faith than maybe I think he's got. That's a guess, it's subjective, but we've all got some sort of faith. How is it shown? We've got faith inwardly. How is it shown outwardly? Well, I'll tell you how it's shown outwardly. By obedience. By responding. You can sit home till you're blue in the face saying, I believe God. You've got to respond and do something. The initial call never mentions an inheritance. Abram didn't respond because God promised him a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He responded because he was God. If you're looking for reward, saying, God, I'll trust you if, caveat, if you give me that or if that happens, if she says yes when I propose, thank you, God. If you're looking for a reward, you've got it wrong. He's the reward, knowing him. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire no other, the psalmist says. My heart and my flesh may fail me, but God is the strength of my life. He's the inheritance. He's the reward. In this case, God gave him a land. Abraham, what a man. So, faith responds best to a call. Sometimes we have to step out in terms of responding to a challenge. Maybe some of you are sat here this morning who set out on the journey and became a bit weary. Maybe you've sat down and camped. That's it, I've had enough. I want to encourage you this morning, get up, dust yourself off, and let God re-energize you. Let the Spirit move you again. Last one. As we journey, we meet obstacles, don't we? Any of us who've been on the road for any length of time as a Christian know it doesn't all work out smoothly, as you think it should. And I think Audrey's challenge this morning was, how do we respond when we hit the obstacles? It's nice, I think she said, I've got it on the back of my notes here. It's easy when it's smooth. Nice to sing nice Christian praise songs when it's smooth. Not so easy when stuff hits you. Family loss, financial problems, other areas, might be physical problems, illness. We heard a couple of weeks ago Alex up here talking very powerfully, testimony about his diagnosis of cancer. Might be some of you think, well, I'm a Christian, that doesn't happen to us. It does. And we've got to respond. Sometimes the journey is more fruitful than the destination. I haven't got time here, whether Ian will talk about it, to talk about some of the adventures I had on my road from Manchester to Israel. Other than, you know, the headline ones, being threatened at rifle point and knife point for an evening was a nice one. Some guys in the middle of nowhere up in Syria took us, and then it was like, well, just quite hard. But some fantastic things as well. The journey sometimes can bring up positives. People you meet. I remember hitchhiking when I lived in Switzerland, hitchhiking back to Manchester. Some people I met in Dijon put me up for the night, and the girl actually was from Manchester. And I said, what can I do for you if I come back this way? She said, can you bring me some bird's custard? That's what she wanted. A tin of bird's custard. What a thing. People you meet. He was a stranger in a foreign country, says about Abraham. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. I have. Where you're in a foreign country, you don't speak the language and you don't know what's going on. And it's real hard. When I hitchhiked to Israel with Ian, we reached the border of Syria and were told we needed a visa. Having checked with the Home Office before we went, they said we didn't. But the guy at the border said, you do. And I said, where can you get one from? We're still in Turkey. He said, there are three places in Turkey you can get one from. Istanbul, Ankara, or Izmir. I'd been to all three places. So I said to Ian, I'm going to go back and try and get a visa. If I'm not back in 3 days, go home. I went back to Ankara, about 400 miles away, to get a visa to get into Syria. And by some amazing planning of God, though I had no, Ian wasn't with me, I had no photo, I got a visa for two of us to get in. Amazing what you do. But that weekend I remember being so frustrated because I went and in some hotel somewhere I paid peanuts for. Everyone in there didn't speak English. And I just didn't, found it a real struggle. I spoke with one guy from Belgium who spoke French. So I ended up trying to speak French with him for the weekend because I knew a little bit of it. I'm not sure how much the cowies in the field was helpful to him in my A-level French. But it's quite hard when you're in a foreign country. You don't know. You're an alien, really. He lived in tents. He had no home or roots. Imagine if God said to you, okay, set off. You're not going to have a permanent destination. You'll be on the move. Some of us wouldn't cope with that. We like our home comforts and we like to know it's ours. He lived in tents. No stability. No long-term stability in it at all. It says, this one man as good as dead. He wasn't a young spring chicken setting out full of vigour. He was an old guy. Is it Galatians, I think, 4, round about there? Abram looked at his body and counted it as dead, it says. He faced the facts his body was as good as dead, yet God said to him, you're going to have children, Abram. And Sarah laughed, didn't she? The Bible says, us two old birds, how are we going to have children? God says, don't panic, I've got it sorted out. My mentor used to say to me, the reasons people don't achieve anything are two. I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. The reason people don't achieve anything, first one, they don't start. You sit and have great ideas, but you don't do anything about it. Ain't going to get you very far. Second, they don't keep going. So you set off and you hit your first obstacle and that's it. You've given up. I've had it with you, God. That was not what's supposed to happen. It was all supposed to work out smoothly. You'd send me someone, and it's not. Are you ready for a challenge? If you haven't heard God's call, or you haven't heard him speak to you, the challenge is to put yourself in a position where he can do that. Are you ready for that challenge? Maybe after me speaking this morning, you decide to set more time aside. There isn't a set amount of right time. Isn't the longer time you spend, the better it is. It's not quantity, it's quality. Quality time with God. Might be 5 minutes a morning, might be 10 minutes a week. I don't know. You'll know. But it's setting that time aside and actually maybe some practical things. Time's running. Things like turning your phone off. Putting yourself in a position where you've closed the door and you're not going to get interrupted. It may be for some of us. Might be when you're walking the dog. If you're out in the morning, you're talking to God. It doesn't have to be out loud, by the way. I'm sure some people look at me strange if I'm quoting the Psalms as I'm walking Dexter down the road. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout for joy. The Lord ascends amidst triumph and trumpets, is it, Warren? Up to you how you do it. But that closeness needs to be there. If you've heard God speak but become weary or your faith is weakened, my challenge to you is to get back up. Dust yourself down and keep going. Let me finish by asking you, who will accept this challenge this morning? Are you ready for a challenge? Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jed. We believe in this church that when we come to that place of rebirth, of new birth, of salvation, that God places a call on our lives, and nobody is exempt from that. If you are a believer, then God is interested in your journey. He wants to be part of it, and he wants to do things in you that you never thought were possible. And that's the great thing about God. He takes us beyond our own understanding and does things in our lives and does things with us that we never thought possible. But we've got to kind of get down with God. And thank you for that message this morning that was encouraging us to start the journey and to keep going. Let me just bring you some notices for the next week or two before we close down our service. Tuesday's prayer and fasting, we'll give an update tomorrow of what we're praying for. After this morning's service, there is baptismal teaching for those who have been baptized next week. So next Sunday is our baptismal service. If you've not been here before and experienced that, behind the white thing on my left and your right, there's a tank that we fill with water. And we baptize people, we call it full immersion. You go all the way under and come up again. And so that'll be happening next week. It's a great, great step of faith and actually commitment to the journey that God has called us to. So that's going to be happening next week. So that will be our Sunday service, will be a baptismal service. On the 16th of September, those that went through the training for Freedom Homes, the drug and alcohol awareness training, we're meeting here just to kind of debrief and discuss any questions, any issues that we may have. And then we're going to talk about what the next steps are in terms of launching out and beginning the recovery course, which will be the 30th of September. We're looking for people who will commit to being mentors. So please come along, find out more about that, contribute to our discussion. And who knows where we're going with this. Just as Abraham set off, we didn't know where we were going. And we still don't know where we're going, but we are answering the call of God on our fellowship. We really want to see God transform people's lives. On the 25th of September, there is the Fixed Conference. Some of you have already booked in. So far, we've got about 28 people going to that, which is amazing, isn't it? And we have access to more places if you're interested in going, just to hear some incredible stories about people breaking free from addiction and how powerful God has been in their lives. That is on the 25th of September, which is a Saturday. And that is it. I'm going to ask the musicians if you'll come back. Can you come back? And we're going to sing the one we started with, which I can't remember what it was. But I'll tell you. because of your love. Because of your love. And everything we do here is because of his love for us. Those that are going to be baptized next week and are here this morning, Jed will take you through into the cafe on the other side as we're singing this. So please follow Jed out and he will begin to just chat to you about what's going to happen and why next week. So that'd be great if you could do that. So let's stand together. If you've got any offerings at all in the red bucket on the way out, that'd be great. Let's just stand. Father, we just thank you that you not only call us to be saved, but you give us stuff to do. Lord, you want to fulfill us in our lives. You want us to do more than we can imagine or think. And I just pray that as we consider and meditate on your word, that you will speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, what you want us to do and encourage our faith so we make that first step of movement. Amen. Thank you, Ray.
This is how I know I'm free. This is how I know salvation. Jesus came and he died for me. This is why I come to worship. This is why I lift my hands. This is why I now surrender everything I am. Because of your love, there's dancing in my heart. Because of your grace, I am free. Because of your faithfulness, there's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you. This is why there's joy within me. This is why my spirit sings. Jesus, you're my great adventure. You're my everything. Because of your love, there's dancing in my heart. Because of your grace, I am free. Because of your faithfulness, there's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you. You came to save the world, to save the world, to save the world. Your love can change the world, can change the world, can change the world. Your love came down. You came to save. Because of your love, there's dancing in my heart. Because of your grace, I am free. Because of your faithfulness, there's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you. I will sing. I will sing because of you. I will sing because of you.
Thank you. It's just been great to spend time with you this morning and time with God. Those that are going with Jed, you can go now. Just follow.